Good morning.
Question for you.
What is it that you like to point out when you're around others? Maybe it's on a tour, or maybe you're just taking a drive. Pointing things out to people, it almost seems like that comes naturally to us. Even more so when there's an accident to point to, or if there's some ill behavior taking place. What doesn't seem as natural to us, yet it ought to be, is pointing Jesus out to people. Something to think about as we worship our great God this day. I invite your attention to our invocation on page 3 of our service bulletin. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Please be seated. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ. For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. The second Sunday after Epiphany, in keeping with the Epiphany theme, a reading from Holy Scripture through the prophet Isaiah, the 49th chapter, reminding us that God had always intended the Messiah to be for all people. His light truly does radiate throughout the world. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, and to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers: "Kings will see you and stand up, princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The word of the Lord. How did you come to Christ? God is the one who has made you alive. We don't bring ourselves to Christ. A reminder of this in a reading from Holy Scripture, Colossians 2. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter. We have found the Messiah. When is the last time you have pointed out those words to someone? The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came, baptizing with water, was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise
be to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated as we turn now to our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace and peace are yours in great abundance still. Thanks to God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue to focus on the Scriptures this morning. We hear once again these words from the Gospel of St. John. John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed is the light of the world, the light that has come to scatter the darkness not only in our own heart, but in the hearts of all people. And who does he use to help make that happen? You and me, by the grace of God. If you point a finger at someone, what is also taking place? Right? Three fingers are pointing back at you. We tend to point to people when we want to identify them as the person who did it. Usually something wrong. And it's prudent for us to point out people who have done something wrong so that the justice process can take place. But while we're also pointing out people as the ones who were the ones who are guilty of that, let us also use that as a time to remember to point back to ourselves and realize that we too are not free from blame. And in that way, God's justice process can start with us as well. God does not take pleasure in the downfall or the death of anyone. Thus, he did something about it when Adam and Eve fell into that disobedient act. That act of disobedience still has relevance and impact on the world today. God could not sit back then and do nothing. Because he realized and realizes that that act of disobedience has an impact on our society, and that explains why people are the way they are by nature. It explains why we at times point the finger at someone or shake our head at times at what we hear is going on. It explains why society continues to go down a downward spiral, even while thinking it is making progress with its progressive agenda. Openness and woke tolerance, though, is not the answer. Darkness hides what is the answer. It hides what is needed. Thus, the light is needed to expose what is the problem. And then what is the solution? That solution, we know for sure, by the grace of God, is Jesus. And that's why we are continually encouraged to keep pointing Jesus out to others. Because our world does still live in great darkness. We need to point Jesus out to others because he is the one who has dealt with sin. That's the root problem, right? But how many people miss the root problem of sin by only looking at the symptoms of sin? And so we have this symptom. Thus, we need this education program. Or we have this symptom, so we need another education program. Oh, we have this symptom. Well, let's throw some more money at it. But education and money in and of itself does not solve the symptom. Because until you get to the root of the problem and hit it with the main solution, you're going to miss the boat. And the problem will continue with various symptoms, and as long as we are not using the right solution, all those other solutions we come up with in an attempt to solve the problem will just keep us spiraling. I mean, proof of that too. Do you feel better off today with what's going on in society? Do you really feel safer walking the streets at night? Are you ready to walk those dark alleys because we're in the 21st century and we feel so enlightened? You're still going to carry a piece with you and a flashlight if you have one. But that, again, is not what our defense is supposed to be. It's just another reminder of how desperate and dark our society is and how we truly need the light of Jesus. And as we hear the news of people dying every day from various reasons, again, another reminder that we don't have the solution this world needs in and of ourselves. But we have been given it by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. Thus, the need to keep pointing out Jesus to people, because he is the one who has dealt with the root problem of sin. He came as promised. We celebrated Christmas with great joy and emotion, and rightly so, because God kept his word to Adam and Eve. I will send a Savior to rescue you from the situation you put yourself in, and not just yourself, but everyone who comes after you, for flesh gives birth to flesh. And we have to admit with King David, in sin did my mother conceive me. That's why we also need to point the finger to ourselves and admit our own unworthiness before God. Jesus came as promised. As the season of Epiphany reminds us of, he appeared among us. He did the miracles the prophet said he would do. He spoke the truth, again, as the prophet said he would do. He proved himself to be the one who was promised. And pretty soon we move into Lent, and so the words of the prophet Isaiah ring true once again. The suffering servant pierced not for his own sins, but for our sins. The gospel writer John reminds us of what John the Baptist had to say also about the identity of the Messiah, that he is who he says he is, that he was the one who was promised, that God does keep his promises. And when the time was right, Jesus came into this world. When Jesus began his official public ministry, he was baptized by John not because he needed a Savior from sin, but to show himself to be that Savior from sin. And so John the Baptist, it was revealed to him that this indeed was the one who was promised, the one who came before John. He has always existed as God, and the one who came after him in the flesh. The one who was superior to John, always had been before and after. The Father's voice, John could hear him say, "This is my Son, the one who was promised. Listen to him." And so John could rightly point out to others, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away from us." And then the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove also testifying to who Jesus was and is. This had been revealed to John, and so John reveals it to others when he points Jesus out to people. By the grace of God, we have come to know who Jesus is, true God and true man, the one who has always existed there before creation and at creation and continues to sustain creation, the one who saw the dire strait of creation and out of love has come to rescue his creation and did so by being that Lamb of God. People could readily relate to what John was pointing to, referencing when he said, "Look, the Lamb of God," because lambs, as we know, were used for sacrifices throughout the Old Testament, not to pay for sin, but to represent how sin would be paid for through sacrifice. And the writer to the Hebrews makes it clear, amongst other places in Scripture, that Jesus is the one that all those sacrifices pointed to. And thus, with the sacrifice of Jesus, no more sacrifices for sin, yours, mine, or anyone else's, is necessary. Or even come close to doing and accomplishing what the sacrifice of Jesus has done for us. And so with David, we also confess, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we realize that he has. Through the shed blood of his Son, our Savior, Jesus. Guilt has been atoned for. And yet, what do we like to do with that guilt that's been atoned for? We like to pick it back up. That's the reminder that God's mercies are new every morning, because God knows us again so well that he knows we pick up that guilt for our sins, and we let it beat ourselves up again and again. And Satan's good at beating us up too with that sin that we have committed and repented of, and it's been forgiven, but boy, we can't let it go. And so the Lord reminds us, you know what? You know what I did with that guilt yesterday? I'm doing the same today. And you know you're going to pick it up again. You know what I'm going to do with it tomorrow? I'm going to do the same as I did the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. All the way back to the cross. And even before the cross, because the promise already was a sign of God's forgiveness. Not to go and sin however we want to sin, but to be free from that guilt of sin, so that we could be at one with God, and now at one with God, want to and know how to live for him to his glory, and to point out Jesus to others so that they have a way to deal with their guilt other than a bottle or a pill or something else. Human ways are not the way to deal with guilt. And in how many people time and time again resort to human ways to deal with guilt? Who in your life needs Jesus pointed out to them yet again? Don't give up. Jesus does not make excuses or allowances for sin. Thus, he sent the forerunner, John the Baptist, to remind us of that. When people went to John and heard his message, what did they ask? What do we need to do? And what did John say? Oh, don't worry about it. No, repent. Confess your sins and hold on to the Messiah for forgiveness. And that's what you and I need to do to those we point Jesus out to. Yes, you are a miserable sinner. You can frame it differently, but you are that. We all are. Come clean, really clean, by the grace of God. And know that you are clean by that same grace of God, rooted in Jesus. And then as you pointed Jesus out to them, they are in a position to point Jesus out to others. And so the family of God grows. God has called us and equipped us for such a task. He called John for that task. He gave him what he needed, a message of repentance, the act of baptism, boldness, confidence. So John could rightly point to Jesus and say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John knew his role. Even when he was challenged by the Pharisees, "Who gave you the right to do this? What are you doing? What is this message?" And John could say, "I'm not going to let you intimidate me. I know why I'm here, to point to the one who came before me and comes after me, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John did not point to himself, but to Jesus. A good reminder for us too. Ultimately, we want people to see Jesus and not us. And that's not just for us individually, that's also for the church too. Because how often does the word "I" come up in conversations? Whether it be in our own conversations or conversations from other pulpits, and Lord willing, not this one. Because it's not about how great we are or what we do or accomplish. It's all about what Christ is and how great he is and what he has accomplished. And so with the disciples too, we have another example of how God calls and equips them. As John pointed his followers to Jesus, they in turn then went to their friend network and said, "We have found the Messiah, the one we have been waiting for, the one John the Baptist has been talking about. Come and see, so you can go and tell." The disciples got to know their role well too, even risking and putting their own life on the line for the gospel. Do you know your role? Are you good with that role? Do you see how God has called you to be his own, and not just called you to be a part of his family, but also called you to be his witnesses and his ambassador? To declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. For once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. We have a family, even if our earthly family disavows us. We have a better family by the grace of God. A family that points out Jesus to us when we need to repent. And a family that points out Jesus to us in our contrition. Your sins are forgiven. We are equipped with the Word of God, the means of grace. We have the tool of tools, baptism, to bring people into the faith, into the family of God. Not by our doing, but by God's doing. We have the Lord's Supper to reassure us of the forgiveness of our Savior Jesus, the Lamb of God. We have the tools to point people to so that they can see Jesus. We have opportunities to invite them to worship, to a Bible information class, to a Bible study, to an event, to a dinner in your home, to a movie, either here or somewhere else, to build relationships and to have them see how you live your life so they can see the reason for the hope that you have. And you get the chance then to tell them. It's simple. It's Jesus. What? Yeah, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, my sin and your sin. The world needs you to point, not at them, but to them, the facts about Jesus, the who he is and why that is important, why he came, which then leads to a discussion of what he has to offer to all people, to offer what is needed, and then provides us with what is needed as we believe in him. The ability to put into the practice the fruits of the Spirit, not because we have to, but because the love of Christ compels us to put those fruits into practice in all our situations, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be on the basketball court or the football field or the soccer field or the recreation place, wherever we might be, to put those fruits into practice. You know, we may complain about the way society is going. Well, do something about it. Point people to Jesus. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. We join in the Confession of Faith, the Nicene Creed on page 7. We believe in one
God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all good works. Help us show love.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith, so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly, who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live, who gives us all. Lord, continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And now hear us as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
As we turn to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one among us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled the moral will. By his innocent death, we will bring him now. By his rising from the grave, we will be open to heaven.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, our
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Shed for the remission.
We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Just thank you for faithfully filling out those blue connection cards and helping our guests among us also fill those out. Appreciate that. And again, take the opportunity to introduce yourself to someone you don't recognize, especially if you attend a different service, or maybe you just haven't seen that person. Maybe they're a first-time visitor, or they've been here before and you just haven't recognized them. Do take the time to meet and greet one another, even if it's just the word, hello, my name is, you know, make it legitimate. We're not undercover here. Bible study taking place. We're looking at Ecclesiastes. If you think you have a meaningless life, you're not alone. Come to Bible study and we'll encourage you in your meaningful life. Thank offering envelopes are available. They're in the library, the building next door, the admin building. That door is open, so you can go and get your envelopes, even if you don't have envelopes because you do the auto giving, which is great as well. Please go pick up a 5x7 envelope, a little thin one. Just has information in there about commitment as well as volunteering opportunities. So take both envelopes or at least get the one envelope. Sunday school starts at 9:15 in the chapel. You're welcome to join them at first as they begin their Sunday school with singing. Teen study will take place in the gathering space in the upper level of this building, having a good discussion about identity there. Chili cook-off next Sunday after the late service. Hopefully you can make it. If you don't like chili, but come for the fellowship. You can order from Panera or bring your own food. Bring a peanut butter and jelly. Maybe we'll find something in the fridge. Who knows? Can't give you a firm date on that, but at least come for the fellowship. If you have questions about it, please do see Ryan and Kaisa. They are here. They can answer your questions. We do have a congregation meeting on the 29th after the late service. It's our annual report meeting, talking about things that we accomplished by the grace of God in 2022, things we hoped to accomplish but didn't get at, and then also a little teaser about what is on the docket for 2023, all by the grace of God. See the weekly news for other things that are going on. I've been pointed to, so that's my time to end. Have a great day in the Lord.